Well, I like the story that Bob Hope once told of when he was doing a benefit show at a nursing home. And after he had done his comedy routine for the residents, he walked around the room to meet each of them. And he walked up to a little old lady and shook her hand and said, "Hello, do you know who I am?" And the little lady said, "No, Sonny, but if you asked a nurse, she could tell you." Well, in today's gospel, the Lord asked a very similar question. Who do the crowds say that I am? And then he even asked his disciples, "And who do you say that I am?" If you have your scriptures handy, open up your missalette to tonight's gospel. It's a very short gospel, but it's packed with good information that we need to know as Catholics, as Catholic Christians. And it's Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 is the key. And always remember that. Matthew 16, 16. Well, the gospel begins by the Lord taking his apostles out of the area around the Sea of Galilee, and he takes them north about 25 miles up into the Gentile territory, up into pagan territory, in a region called Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is a very interesting place. Back then, it was a very well-known, wealthy, pagan city named after Caesar Augustus. That's where you get the Caesarea from. And also Philippi after Philip the Tetrarch. And what was unique about this region was that this city was built basically on a large rock formation. This rock formation was 600 feet wide and 200 feet tall. And upon that was built a huge pagan temple. And remember, the Lord does not do anything by accident. Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. So he doesn't do anything by accident. So he takes the apostles to this region on purpose, because he would then say, "You are Peter, and upon this rock," again, you have this huge backdrop of this huge rock formation with a pagan temple built. And he says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church." And see, that juxtaposes this pagan territory, which has this pagan temple upon a huge rock formation. And so the Lord takes them to this area of Caesarea Philippi. In fact, most of the tours to the Holy Land cannot go up there. It's a little too dangerous. The Holy Land tours go to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Nazareth and Caesarea by the sea. This is a different region. This is up 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. So the Lord doesn't do anything by accident. He takes them there for a purpose. And here he is with this huge rock formation with a pagan temple, and he turns to his disciples and says, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" See, here we have the first Gallup poll ever taken, okay? And so the results were, the apostle says, well, 33% say that you're John the Baptist. 33% say that you're Elijah, this figure up here on the mural. 33% say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What's interesting is that the crowd got it wrong. If you get all your theology from secular papers or from the media, most likely you won't get the truth, because the crowd thought he was John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then, since nobody had it right, Jesus then turns to the disciples, the apostles, and said, "And now you, who do you say that I am?" And the apostles are silent. Nobody knows what to say. Well, one voice rings out, and it is the voice of Simon Peter. And Simon says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Yes, you're right." He says, "Blessed are you, favored, approved are you, Simon, son of Jonah." He uses his formal name, his full name, Simon, son of Jonah, because this is a very formal declaration. Peter declared something about Christ. Now Christ is going to declare something for Simon Peter. And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." In other words, you didn't get this of your own wisdom, because as you know, almost every time in Scripture where St. Peter speaks, he usually gets it wrong, except now. So Jesus says, you did not come up with this on your own. The Heavenly Father revealed this to you. See, this is how Simon Peter knew this. It had been revealed to him as an inspiration by the Heavenly Father. And because of this, now Jesus will declare something about Simon. So he says, I say to you, remember Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. I say to you, you from now on will be called Peter. In Aramaic, Kepha. And upon this Kepha, I will build my church. So he'll no longer be known as Simon. The word Simon in Aramaic means a reed which can sway in the wind. Whereas now he would become a rock. He would become Kepha. And upon Kepha, Jesus says, I, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, will build my church. See, unlike this rock formation which has a pagan temple, I will build my church upon the rock of St. Peter. Now, sometimes you'll have discussions with people outside the church, and they say, well, if you looked at the New Testament Greek, it says, you are Petros, and upon this Petra, I will build my church. They try to make a distinction and say that St. Peter is not the rock, because the word Petros is the masculine gender of a personal name, and Petra is the word for rock. But remember, how you want to answer that is Jesus spoke in Aramaic. And in Aramaic, the word is identical. You are Kepha, and upon Kepha I will build my church. So Jesus is clearly saying he's going to establish a church. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'll establish my denominations or my churches. See, there's 30,000 different Christian denominations in America alone. Jesus doesn't say, I will build 30,000 churches upon you. I will build my church. The church is singular. One holy Catholic and apostolic church founded by Christ upon Peter and the apostles. And then he promises a couple things. Jesus promises that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. And that is wonderful news for us as Catholics, that the church can never be destroyed. People tried to destroy the church. Nero in the 60s, not the 1960s, but the 60s, tried to destroy the church. He martyred Peter and Paul in the year 64 and 65 AD. Diocletian tried to destroy the church in 300 AD. Julian the Apostate tried to destroy the church. They all failed. They're dead and gone, but the church remains. Napoleon boasted that he was going to destroy the Catholic Church. The French Revolutionary said they were going to destroy the church. The communists said they're going to destroy the church. Those regimes come and go, but Jesus and his church, which is his mystical body, will last until the end of time, until the second coming of Christ. So the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Yes, there will be persecution of the church and attacks on the church, but the church is the body of Christ that can never be destroyed. Now, the other thing that's remarked here is that when he says the gates of hell will never prevail against the church, means also that the church will never teach error on issues of faith and morals. See, if the church began to water down its teachings and change its teachings and teach heresy or teach error, then the gates of hell would have prevailed against the church. So this guarantee that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church means that we can trust the church in its teachings and its doctrines on issues of faith and morals. Well, what are these issues of faith and morals that can never be changed or corrupted or taught error about? For example, the Trinity, that's a teaching on faith. The Incarnation, the divinity of Christ, the seven sacraments, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. What are the moral teachings that the church will always be right on? Abortion, contraception, euthanasia, homosexuality, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. See, these issues can never be changed by the church because they are truths of the faith. Other denominations, as you know, will change their teachings on these issues, and most of them have changed their teachings on these issues. But because of the guarantee by Jesus that the Holy Spirit would always be there to protect and to guide the church, and that the gates of hell would never prevail against the church will always teach the truths of the faith in an accurate way on issues of faith and issues of morals. Does that mean that everybody in the church will be saints? That'd be nice, but that's not what this is guaranteeing. There's going to be saints and sinners within the church, the good and the bad. Out of the 265 popes that we had maybe four or five of them that were not virtuous men. They were not holy men. They were sinful men. But even they never taught error on issues of faith and morals when speaking as the Pope to the universal church. So the bad popes, the few of those that we have, that actually goes to show that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because even they never led the church astray on its teachings of doctrines on faith and morals. And lastly, Jesus then says, Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Imagine that authority. If you give somebody your car keys, you're giving them authority to drive your car. Give somebody your house keys, giving them authority to go in and out of your house. Imagine this, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Imagine that authority given to our first pope, St. Peter, and to his successors. And he tells us, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Imagine that. That's incredible. The authority, the power given by Christ to the Pope, to the bishops in union with him, and to the church. It's incredible when you see that. And believe it or not, today, as you know, Pope Benedict right now is in Madrid, Spain, and there's 1 million young people at World Youth Day in Madrid. And he's speaking the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about the gospel, the truth about pro-life, the truth about marriage. He is the 265th successor of St. Peter. And so when Pope Benedict speaks today to the young people, in fact, some of our teenagers from our parish are there right now listening to the voice of St. Benedict, Pope Benedict, who is the successor of St. Peter, who received his authority from Christ himself.